Good morning, Church on the Rock. All right, my name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. I like to get started with a little, like, just kind of jump scream at you real quick so you are already ready for how I'm going to preach. So I'm going to do that one more time. I say good morning, Church on the Rock. You say good morning, Rashad, and we will get into today's message. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we praise you just for being who you are. Father, you've given us another opportunity to serve you this morning just by waking us up. You got us here safely. May any of the world's problems be left at the door. May we be open to receiving a word from you. Father, the same way you've been developing this message in me throughout the week, I ask that you deliver this message through me. May they see all of you and none of me. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 It's been 2 weeks, two long weeks since I've been able to preach here and pastor and be with my church family. And I tell you, I am really, really starting to understand what that family feel and that pastoring over a church really, really means. I missed you all so dearly. I missed you all so dearly and couldn't wait to get back here. And we're going to start this month, the second half of the year, off with a sermon series called It's Getting Hot in Here. Now, some of you are going to instantly jump to that song by Nelly. Don't do it. That's not why we're, that has nothing to do with why we are going with that title, although it is a nice little play on words. But we're talking about it's getting hot in here, and we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 12 through 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13, and we're going to be there for the remainder of the month. So if you want to read ahead or if you want to study on it, this is where we're going to be bringing scripture each and every week. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13 is where we're at today. So I want to start by talking about why would I use that title? Why is it getting hot in here? Why is it getting hot in here? Like, what, Rashad, why are you just trying to be cute, or is there actually some reason behind that title? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Church on the Rock. May 2015, 2 years ago, okay, we averaged, I looked up the details, we averaged 51 people. 51 people, which means adults, we probably had 25, maybe 30 adults. And in 2 years, May 2017, just this past May, we averaged 127 and a half. I don't know what a half person looks like, but we averaged 127 and a half people, with our high day for the month being 158 people in this church. 2 years. That's it. Just 2 years. And we've been averaging like 80 adults instead of those 30 adults, right? So first of all, it's getting hot in here because of growth, right? I mean, it's literally more bodies, more body heat, and thank you, Bill, for installing the HVC, because it gets hot in here, especially in the summer months. But with that growth comes diversity. We aim to be a biblical church, right? So we've said from day one, from the moment that I started pastoring this church, I told you, intentional inclusiveness, diversity, multicultural. Now, many people mistake multicultural for multi-ethnic. Now, multi-ethnic is a part of being multicultural, but that's not what multicultural is. So some people may come into church with that misunderstanding and say, well, you guys don't look too multicultural to me. There's a couple of you, Rashad, and there's a whole lot of them. But that's not what multicultural means, right? So multicultural is this. We have old, young, right? We have people who have doctors and doctorates and bachelor's degrees and people who barely made it out of middle school. We have people who've been addicted to all kinds of things and people who've never had an addiction in their life. We have people from all types of different cultures and backgrounds. And as a result, it's getting hot in here. Why? Because with all those differences, all those backgrounds, all those cultures, there's different expectations, right? So what happens is people come from all these different backgrounds to serve the same Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, right? But they come in here with a lot of baggage or a lot of preconceived ideas of what church is or what a pastor should be or what we should be with one another. And that makes it really hot in here. I mean, I remember coming to Church on Rock myself. Like, I was waiting for the shouting and the amening and the hallelujahs and all that good stuff. And I didn't get none of that when I first got here. And I was like, this is kind of uncomfortable. And then when I started preaching, some people was looking at me like, he's kind of uncomfortable, right? And those differences, like, come from our exaggerations or our bias exaggerations of what we expect out of the church, right? So just real quick, I just came back from Florida, okay? The church blessed me and my family to take our first family vacation. Clap, yes. Thank you, yes. He's like, I wasn't even clapping for that, Rashad. but let me explain this. I had an exaggerated view of what Florida was going to be like. See, my mama told me, black folks can't burn. That's what she told me. She grew up telling me black people couldn't burn. My wife kept telling me, yes, they can. I was like, no, they can't. Mama said they can't. Guess what? Black people can burn. They can burn. Yes, indeed. But I had this exaggerated view of what the beach was going to be like. I was like, man, every time I see it on TV, there's not a lot of, you know, you could just sit out there and read your books and just be in peace. And, oh, it's just so peaceful. There's nothing to fear. Man, I get down there. The wind is blowing so much I can't keep a book open. I get down there. I am literally baking in the sun. And then there's these, like, they call them ghost crabs. I call them beach roaches. Like they just kept popping out the sand and running across and popping out the sand and running across to where I was like, Brittany, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know if they can hurt you or not, but I'm uncomfortable. But this was my exaggerated view of what the beach was going to be. And then when I got there, I got the real expectations of it, right? I got the real understanding of what it was. Well, that's what's happening in the church with all the different cultures and all the different personalities and all the different personality types. We come with all these biased exaggerations of what the church should be to us, and all we need is the biblical view, the biblical expectation of what church is. So this entire series of It's Getting Hot in Here is to focus on what church is according to the Word, looking at what those relationships are supposed to be like according to God's Word, putting aside everything we've grown up with, all the traditions, all the things we've been told along the way of what church is supposed to be, and just opening up God's Word and reading it for what it is and then surrendering to that. That's what this entire series is about. That's what I want you to take from this. I want us to build His body in here with some biblical expectations for one another and get rid or break or destroy those biased exaggerations for one another. I don't want us coming in here thinking, oh, I have to be in a suit and tie even when it's 120 degrees outside. That's not in the Bible. You see what I'm saying? I don't want you coming in here thinking, oh, we have to do contemporary Christian music. That's not in the Bible. We could do hymns, and you should be thankful for that as well. I knew Lucy would get an amen on that one, right? I don't want you to think that when I come in here and I'm preaching, I have to have 3 points. I mean, y'all know how I get down, but I don't have to have 3 points. I could just do kind of like Drew did last week and just talk to you from the scriptures, and it should be enough because there's nothing in the Bible that says it has to be any other way. The Bible says preach the gospel, preach the word, right? So as long as I'm doing that, I'm operating in my calling, doing exactly what God has called me to do, and you should receive me just on that alone. I shouldn't have to tell a whole bunch of jokes to keep your interest. You should love God's word because it's God's word. So naturally, as we speak about it getting hot in here, we want to start at the top. We want to start with the leaders. And that's kind of why Drew came in here and I heard he threw me under the bus and kept saying, now Rashad gave me this verse. We agreed on that verse. I'm going to have to talk to him about that later, okay? But no, seriously, it was to kind of open up where I was going to be going in the scriptures today. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13, we're going to read that real quick. It says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Go to the next verse there. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Hold it right there, Corey. Hold it right there. So let me give you a little bit of background real quick on the church in Thessalonica, okay? Paul planted this church on his second missionary journey. Now, here's the unique thing about the church. Many scholars believe that he was only there for three Sabbaths. So this church was planted in 3 weeks. And then because of persecution, he had to leave Thessalonica and go to another town and was never able to return. So he was writing this letter to a church that he planted but could only be with for 3 weeks. Can you imagine a church starting in 3 weeks and then the person who started the church having to dip out? That'd be crazy, right? That'd be like crazy. So at some point, he sent Timothy. A lot of you know Timothy. He sent Timothy back to kind of put some things in place. But Timothy came back with the report and was like, here's some of the questions they have. Here's some of the concerns they have. And that's where we get this letter of 1 Thessalonians. Now, the unique thing and the reason I want to talk about our history is because he probably planted that church somewhere around 49 AD. And he probably wrote this letter somewhere around 51 AD. So that's 2 years. Kind of like the 2 years I gave you for how long we've, you know, how much we've grown since 2 years ago. So you would have had a similar type growth, maybe even more than that, but you would have had a lot of diversity, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different backgrounds all in one church. And after he does some encouraging for the things that they're doing, and then he talks about some end times, he comes to these verses in 12 and 13, and he starts to put things in order for the church. So we want to go back to verse 12 real quick. I want to read that one more time. But we, which would have been him, Timothy, and Silas, we request of you, brethren, that's the church, that you appreciate those who what? Who diligently labor among you. So he's talking about leaders here, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's go to my first point. We're going to open it up with this. These are the expectations you should have as a church family here at Church on the Rock. Here are the expectations you can have. Church family should expect to, boom, see the labor of their leaders. Church family should expect, I mean, you should expect it. You should demand to be able to see the labor of their leaders. That word labor is the same word in the Greek that means that you, like it was for like manual labor. It was for working to where you had sweat on your brow. You know, when I'm up here, most of y'all don't want to hug me afterwards because I've been sweating up here laboring in the word. Yeah, the leaders that are here at Church on the Rock, you should be able to see their labor. So what does that look like, Rashad? That means when people are spending time in that word daily, you should see a result of that in how they pastor or how they lead over you, right? When I get up here, you should have some proof in the way I'm preaching, in the way I'm teaching, that makes you believe that I'm spending long 30 to 40 hours in my sermon prep, because that's what I'm doing. I'm working hard for you. It's a part of my calling. It's a part of my responsibility as a leader. If anybody in this church says that they want to be a leader, they should be doing the same thing. You don't need a title. What you're going to find in this passage is he didn't say respect the pastors among you or anything like that. He just gave the characteristics. You see, one thing I love about this church is I never asked to be the pastor of the church. As I started preaching and teaching and leading among you, you guys ordained me as the pastor of the church. It was the church's decision as a result of what you saw in my labor, right? So you should be able to see the actual labor of the leaders. It says those who work diligently among you, right? The vocation of leadership in the church is visible. When we were down there, there was this guy that was doing kite surfing, I think is what they call it, kite surfing. And he was awesome. Like, I'd never seen nothing like it before, but he blew up this big kite, and then he was, like, surfing around on the waters and doing backflips and everything. And you could tell that he spent a lot of time, you know, putting in practice for that. And then there's another man who kind of had this little walk about him, this talk about him. And he had his own kite even, and he blew it up. And the other guy was trying to help him, but he was like, I got it. And as soon as he blew it up and was ready to go, he got dragged all the way across the sand As a Christian, I felt like I should go help, but I was kind of watching at the same time with my wife, like, whoa, what just happened? And he was getting dragged around, and eventually it like ran into a car that was parked or whatnot, the kite itself, and he was just kind of stuck in the sand. But what you saw was he had no experience. He had no experience doing the kite surfing. Well, that happens in the church, and we're supposed to recognize that and give the respect to those who have the experience, those who put in the time, those who put in the work. Those who labor hard, you are to appreciate, you are to respect, you are to recognize them, right? So what we have is, you know how we talked about having, before we talked about having those checklist Christians? Well, when it comes to leaders, you have cliff note Christians. They want to read some commentaries real quick and then say that they're a preacher. I've seen it. They want to listen to a sermon and then re-preach the sermon up here and not actually do the work of getting in God's word, letting God talk to them, and then praying over this congregation and then coming up here and speaking, right? So there's a couple things that you have to call out on the leaders here at Church on the Rock or any church that you belong to. They can't just be Sunday laborers, okay? They can't just be people who come here on Sunday and want to preach a sermon and then you can't see them Monday through Saturday. They can't just be people who come in here and want to bark orders on a Sunday, but then don't want to be available for you Monday through Saturday. Those are not leaders who are laboring hard. They also can't be, there's a Latin word, it's called sinecura. Sinecura, meaning that they can't be lazy leaders. They can't get paid for their position and then sit around and do nothing, right? It's called without care in the Latin. They need to be struggling. They need to be working to the point of exhaustion. That's what the Greek word is, to the point of exhaustion. Like, you will never burn out on God's work. You'll only burn out on good work. Think about that. They should be exhausted doing the work of God. They should be tired doing the work of God. But when they burn out, it's not because of the work of God. It's because they're adding things that they were never called to do in the first place. So leaders, those of you in here who identify yourselves as leaders, think about that as well on the flip side. Some of you feel you may be burning out, and it's probably because you're adding things that God never asked you to do. I'm leading in the church, and I feel I'm called to this, but then I'm trying to do all these other things that have nothing to do with my calling, and I'm starting to burn out. Yeah, I bet you are. God's giving you the strength to do what he's called you to do. All these other things you're adding is the burden, is self-inflicted suffering. I've been there. So I want you to think about that. We should see the labor of our leaders. That's something you as a church can expect. I'm telling you, if I get lazy, call me out. If I'm not available, if I get bougie as a pastor and all of a sudden I only do work on Sunday, call me out. I'm not fit to pastor this congregation. Because pastoring is not a Sunday thing, right? Preaching is 10% of this calling. The other 90% is praying and caring over this church. You should expect that from your leaders. You should expect it. That's not exaggerations, but what you shouldn't expect is that I'm wearing a five-piece suit on Sunday morning. What you shouldn't expect is that I don't watch football and I don't joke around, I don't play fans. I mean, you shouldn't expect all those things. You should expect that I labor hard over this congregation. Here, let go of the rest of your exaggerations of what you think a pastor is. Open up God's word and let him tell you what a pastor is. Let him tell you what the leader is, and then expect those things. If you can't point to it in the word, then don't expect it from me, because I'm going to lead you according to God's word and God's word only. So you should see the labor of your leaders. And then the second point is this. You should feel led by your leaders. So he says, those that diligently labor among you. And then he says, those that have charge over you in the Lord. Those that have charge over you in the Lord. The word there literally means to stand before you in the Lord. To literally stand before you in the Lord. So like, this is what you're looking at. A lot of people think that leadership is all about authority, right? It's about standing over people and telling people what to do, and that's what a leader is. But in the church, leadership is about standing under people and serving them. It's about standing under. I serve you tirelessly. Monday through Friday, I'm doing marriage counselings. I'm doing one-on-one counselings. I'm pouring into brothers. I am studying the word for myself. I am putting 30 to 40 hours of time in just for the sermon prep, let alone my own reading, while working a full-time job. Why? Because that's what God has called me to do, to serve you. So if somebody wants to come in these walls and say that they're a leader among us, let them prove it by how they serve you. We don't have to puff nobody up and throw a title on their name just because they read a lot of Bible. I know a lot of people that read a lot of Bible but won't serve for anybody. That doesn't make you a leader. They have charge over you in the Lord, meaning the whole reason we are here is for what? The Lord, right? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So the way that we show our leadership is by serving them in all things regarding Christ in the Lord. Serving them and pointing them back to Christ, serving tirelessly in Christ. That's what a leader does. That's what you should be expecting from your leaders. I refuse to call somebody here at Church on the Rock a leader who's not serving anybody, who's not serving the people of the church. They may have a whole bunch of Bible knowledge, been in church all their lives. Awesome. Who are you serving? Who are you putting before yourself? Let's look at Mark 10 real quick. I want to give you a quick cross-reference. Mark 10, 42, Jesus, calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great man exercised authority over them." So the Gentiles, those that were outside the church per se, that's how they lead. They lord over people. It's that CEO mentality, right? "But it is not the way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your" what? "Your servant." Keep going. He goes on to say, "And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all." And then look at the example he gives. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." If we as leaders are called to imitate Christ, we should be giving our lives a ransom for many. My brother asked me yesterday, many of you know I make beats. I do hip hop. That's my thing. And I was in the middle of Bible study, middle of sermon prep, and he reached out to me and was like, "Man, can you work on a beat today?" And I said, "Man, I'm busy. I'm working on some sermon stuff. I'm still trying to close some things out. It's been a long week catching up at work, so I wasn't able to get to my sermon stuff until Saturday." And he said, "Man, it feels like since you're the pastor of the church, since you're a leader, you really don't have a life. Your life kind of belongs to the people." And I said, "You know what? I'm going to quote you because that's exactly what it is. That's what I've been called to do, is to put my life aside for you, to imitate what Christ did and die for you. That's what you should expect of a leader. High expectations, right, for a high calling." Powerful stuff, and I wanted to make sure that we start zoning in on this because as we grow, in 2 years, we've grown over 150%. As we grow, people will come in saying that they're leaders. People will come in saying that they feel called here to do XYZ ministry or to lead in this or to be that. And we're going to tell them, "Hey, we've already established we don't just put people on pedestals." No. They earn those things here by doing labor, by being examples in leadership. And then we're going to go to the third point here. You should also expect this right here. You should expect to receive learning from your leaders. It says that not only do they have charge over you in the Lord, but they give instruction, right? And that word "give instruction" literally means to admonish or should put a corrective influence in your mind. That's what the Greek means. It should put corrective influence in your mind. Now see, that's the hardest part of leadership because don't nobody want to hear what I got to say in correcting you. I don't even want to hear what I got to say when I'm correcting myself. But that's the job of a leader. That's the job of a pastor. I can't sit here and let you just live in sin. I'm not caring for you at all if I just sit here and gloss over your sins like they don't matter. If I see them in love, because it's like a parental love, in love, I will call them out. And many of you who know me, who have spent time with me, have had to be on the end of that. But there's also many of you who have done it for me as well. Admonishing is something we're all called to do, but leaders especially have to hold fast to the truth of God's word, right? So you should expect that instruction. It shouldn't catch you off guard if I sit you down and say, hey, look, I've heard XYZ is going on about you. I just wanted to talk about something you posted on Facebook. Hey, I heard what you said to Sister So-and-so. Let me tell you that there's a better way that the Bible calls us to go about this. It's not me thumping you. It's me loving you. It's me leading you. So here's the thing. This is where it gets kind of tough. I start looking at all of those different qualities, right? Laboring hard in the word, laboring hard in serving. I start looking at having charge over people in the Lord. I start looking at giving instruction. And you know what I realized? And this is specifically for the men. These are things you're supposed to be doing at home. You may sit around and say, oh, I don't feel called to lead in the church, so this sermon doesn't apply to me. But here's the thing. It starts at home. How many of us men in this church, how many of us men today can say that over this last week, you sat down and you prayed over your wife, you instructed her in God's word, you labored in the word for her so you had some instruction to give? How many of us can actually say that for this past week? How many of us are managing our households well? Even if you don't feel called to pastor, if you feel called to father or to husband, that's a part of your calling. Think about that. The same instructions given here are the same instructions I would charge any man in this house right now that they should be doing at home. So this is what happens. This is what happens. Men aren't doing these things at home, not just here, but everywhere. And as a result, women become the leaders, and that's all backwards. Nothing against women at all, right? But the God-ordained order is for a man to lead his home. So what happens is the men aren't leading at home, and as a result, the men aren't leading in the church. And then we men want to boo-hoo and go look at one text and say, women can't be XYZ in the church, but the man won't step up and even do it at home, let alone the church. And as a result, this is what happens. This is what happens. The women come to the church by themselves, or they reach out to the pastor to be guided in the scriptures, because men at home, fathers, husbands, aren't doing their job of reaching out about the scriptures so that they can pastor their homes. This is what's happening in the church. This is where the exaggerations have kicked in. People think everybody is supposed to go to the pastor, right? Let me flip this around for you. What would it look like if I had those one-on-one great relationships with the men who were putting pride aside, reaching out for counsel, discipleship with me or whoever else in the church? The men were laboring in the word and they were going home and having charge over their houses. Then you got all these little house churches within the church. And you got all kinds of leaders in the church who are raising up this church to be mature in Christ. Why? Because we've all done our homework at home. We've all put the time in at home. We're all able to give instruction to our families, our homes. And now, I am literally overseeing you as you oversee your home. As you oversee your wife, she can oversee the children. And you have the order that God put in place. That's how he put it in place. But that's not what we see in the church. Not just here. I'm not pointing out any fingers or anything, because this is something I'm trying to get ahead of as we grow. I don't want men who are married or fathers depending on me to pastor their wives. I want husbands pastoring their wives. If you came in here and you let me pastor your wife, how can you protect her? Which is what you're called to do. Your first ministry is to her, not this church. If I go to any church, long before my wife steps in that church, I'm stepping in that church to see what they're speaking about, to see what the pastor believes. I'm talking to the pastor one-on-one first. I'm looking at him and saying, hey, this is where I stand. This is where I am. And I'm going to bring my wife alongside me, but I'm standing before her in the gap because I have authority over her in the Lord. Just like this scripture says. You may not be called to lead this church, or you may not feel to be a leader in the church, but ultimately, if you're leading your home, you're leading in the church. Think about it. If you're leading in your home, then you're leading the church. Right? So where does that hit you? Because a lot of you, I know you love me. You just sent me on a vacation. I know you love me. I know you care about me. I know you appreciate me. But think about this. Think about this. Think of the burden you take off of me when you just lead your homes well. When you just do what God has called you to do as a husband or a father, to be a leader, to labor exhaustively over your home, to have authority in the Lord over your home by serving your home, and to give instruction in your home based on what you know from the scriptures that you're laboring tirelessly in. And if you focus, and if you really think about it, it all points back to Jesus Christ. Think of those three points. I saw the labor of Christ when he died on the cross for me, right? He had charge over me in the Lord, and then he left his word and gave instruction through the scriptures, right? It's Christ himself, and what does Paul tell you to do? He says, imitate Christ. So think about that. That's where this thing took a big turn for me. Is as I was reading this and I was thinking about the church and leadership, I start thinking about the homes. See, leadership starts in the home, but it doesn't stay in the home. It's the training ground for what you should be doing in the church. But most of us, like in 1 Timothy, they said, how can you lead the church if you can't even how can you manage the church if you can't even manage a house? And there's a lot of men who can't manage their house because they just won't step up to the position. They just won't step up and do it. They don't have time to read the scriptures or to labor or to work tirelessly in the scriptures. They don't have time for it. They're too busy doing all the other things. And don't get me wrong, working, important, very important. Providing, important. Protecting, super important. But if you're not pouring into your household spiritually, if you're not raising your household spiritually, I would even say this, all those other things really don't matter. Yeah, you can have a nice big house, material, all the materials in the world, and your wife is dead spiritually, or your kids are dead spiritually. Don't even know who Christ is. So at that point, what does everything else mean? That's where this hit me the hardest, because there's a trap for those who lead in the church that you get caught up here leading, and then that one over there is dying because I haven't done my first responsibility as a leader, and that's take care of my home. So as I was reading through these scriptures, I said, wow, these points are not just for leaders in the church. These points are for every man who wants to give himself a title of father or husband. Because at that point, you are a leader, my friend. So real quick, how should the church family respond to these things? How should the church family respond to seeing a leader that labors exhaustively, to seeing a leader who has charge over you in the Lord, and to seeing somebody who you can receive instruction from? Well, let's go look at the scriptures again. First, they should respond with appreciation for their leaders. In verse 12, he said, appreciate those. And then he went on to those three points. Appreciate those. The Greek word there means to literally be concerned with, right? It's not just a, hey, pastor, love the sermon, awesome job, love you, and move on. No, this appreciation is knowing that leader, knowing that pastor past Sunday, so that you can actually appreciate what he does. That's not really a problem here. Most of you know I work a full-time job. Most of you know how I spend my time in the Word, because most of you are my friends on Facebook. But what about the other leaders in the church? Does anybody know what Josh Allen does for a living? Does everybody know that they just took on a foster child? Anybody know what Jason's been going through for the last month? And how he's healing? Has anybody checked on him since the funeral? Appreciate the leaders. It's to go past Sunday morning and the things that we do on Sunday, and it's to know them Monday through Saturday as well on a deep level. Why? Because then you can really appreciate what they do among you, and then your expectations curve because you know exactly what they're going through. It was a whole different word there. It was like an intimate knowing of those who labor among you, to actually know what they do and how they do it and how they go about it. It's funny when you talk to people who are not used to church and they're like, I mean, don't you just preach on Sunday? And you're like, oh, you thought that's all I did? But it's because they have no appreciation yet. They haven't spent that time. They've never done a Bible study with you to understand how deep you go into the Word so that you can feed it on Sunday morning, right? They don't see all the things that go on behind the scenes to keep a church running and peaceful. So they don't appreciate it, and they just take it for granted and say, well, he should have time to do X, Y, Z. He only preaches on Sunday morning. And that would be your expectation if you don't have a true appreciation for those who labor among you, have charge over you, and give you instruction. So the response of the church to those that you see laboring like that and serving you is to get to know them even more, deeper. Because then you'll start giving the benefit of the doubt when you feel like your toes have been stepped on. You'll know their hearts. You'll know where they're coming from. But then he also goes and says one more thing. He says, next point, he says, you should also respond with esteem for your leaders, to actually hold them in high regard. You don't have to put them on a pedestal like they're perfect or anything like that, but you hold them in very high regard, very high concern. You actually acknowledge them as your leaders. A lot of us can't even do that. Why? Because, I mean, it's like sinful nature. We don't like leaders. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like people having charge over us, even if it's because they're serving us. It's just who we are. And then the last one, he also says, at the very end, he says, live in peace with one another. So you should respond, to good leaders with being in peace with one another. Check this out. If you're really listening to the teacher, the teaching of any good leader, they should be pushing you towards Christ, which is pushing you towards peace. Every time you hear me preach, you always hear something that's talking about breaking the barriers we have amongst us, getting rid of that division. It's amazing how the enemy uses anything that's different to divide us, whether it be skin color, whether it be politics, whether it be football teams. I know we got some Chicago Bears fans. I forgive you. No, but if you really appreciate from an understanding your leaders, and you really hold them in high esteem, then live in peace with one another. Because the hardest part of ministry for me is getting you all to love each other. And as we grow, and as we get larger, and as more people come in from different backgrounds who aren't a part of the culture of Church on the Rock, the hardest job for me is getting you to love them. Who was here 2 years ago? Raise your hand. Who was here 2 years ago? It's not easy, right? Everybody, it's not easy loving when you've been together for like 2 years and it's just 50 of us, and then in 2 years later, it's 120 and there's 50 more personalities to love without wax, right? It's not easy, right? But as we respond to the leader's teaching and instruction and their authority in the Lord, and as we look at the Bible for ourselves, we see that it's the way church was meant to be. Diverse people showing the world that even among our differences, our worldly differences, our spiritual unity overrides that. So as I saw that, I also saw a moment for the women. Don't think y'all was going to get off, right? So the leaders should be laboring, right? And have authority over you in the Lord and giving you instruction on all these things that the men, the husbands, the fathers are supposed to be doing. Wives, you respond to that with appreciation, high esteem, and peace. I just gave you marriage counseling one-on-one right there. But this is why you see in Ephesians, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. That giving himself up for her was laboring exhaustively for her. It was having charge over her in the Lord. It was giving instruction to her, washing her with the word, right? And then what did it say to the wives? Wives, submit to your husbands as if you're submitting to what? The Lord. It's your natural response. If you look at the gospel, Jesus did something for us to respond to. It's the same way with the husband, the wife, with the leaders in the church. So I'm asking you today, as we get ready for this July series, what does that look like immediately? What does that look like immediately? Those of you who call yourselves leaders, including myself, are you really laboring for this church? Are you really serving this church in the Lord, standing under the people and serving them? Are you willing to have those tough conversations and admonish the church? And church family, how are you responding to those who call themselves leaders in this church, to those that you recognize as leaders in this church? We're putting a lot of structure in place this month. I'm going to tell you right now, I am the pastor of this church, but I couldn't do it without Josh Allen. I couldn't do it without Jason Servizzi. I couldn't do it without Clinton Russell. I want you to hear those names so that you start to recognize those people and understand that when you all are home, they're praying with me or they're dealing with my issues 1 o'clock in the morning on GroupMe. They're studying with me. They're laboring in the word. They're trying to lead. One of the problems is many of us don't want to be led. A lot of us don't know Christ right now because we don't want to be led. A lot of us don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because of pride, because we don't want to surrender. We don't want to be led. I want to take a moment right now and ask that you put that pride aside. I want to take a moment right now and ask that you meet me, that you come meet me, come talk to me, and surrender your life over to Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. The only reason that I'm here is to preach Christ. It's to preach the gospel. It's to introduce you to Christ and have him save your soul. That's the only reason I'm up here. I'm not up here to entertain. I'm not up here just to talk. The reason behind all of this is Jesus Christ and your salvation. As a leader, I work tirelessly in the Lord for your salvation. That's it. Not for your approval, not for your Facebook likes, but for your salvation. It's everything to me because it's everything to him. So it's getting hot in here. That's how we're kicking off this month. I know this one was a little bit dry, but it's because I had to start at the top. I had to start with leadership. And it's hard to talk about leadership when you're a leader, but it's necessary. I want you to have biblical expectations for me, but I also want you to understand that I have biblical expectations of you. Not just in your response to me, but in the way that you lead your homes, men, women, the way that you respond to the leadership in your homes, in the way that the two of you lead these children, this youth, men, women, how we lead this youth. Because without it, this church might as well not exist. So if you want to know more about Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your leader, as the example that we all look to, please come speak with me. This is my responsibility. This is my labor. If you don't feel comfortable today, talk to me right after. Talk to me Monday through Friday. You guys know how available I am for you because I love you in the Lord. Please allow me and the other brothers in this church to lead you. Please go home and lead your homes, lead your children, and live in peace with one another. That is the only way we're going to survive what God is doing in his church, by bringing more and more people here. We have to learn how to live together, not just exist together. I want you guys getting more involved in our Thrive communities where you can actually get to know people for who they are outside of Sunday morning. It's easy to live in peace for an hour and a half, but it's hard to live in peace 24/7. But we call ourselves family. We got to go beyond this hour and a half. So let's step up. Let's be leaders. Let's be a church family. Let's move to the next level. I'm so thankful to be back. This is going to be a tremendous series, I'm telling you. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5 for the entire month, and it's going to take off quickly. I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to join us on this podcast from Church on the Rock here in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you would like any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.